Good evening, and welcome to tonight's teleclass on discovering how moms raise boys to become strong, healthy, masculine men. My name is Shadi Ardlan, and I will be leading tonight's teleclass, and I have a live panel of men who I have the pleasure of introducing in just a moment. This teleclass is provided by PAX Programs, and my intention is to present the possibilities of PAX, which represents partnership, adoration, and ecstasy, which means a really big happy, and to give those of you who are new to our education an opportunity to register for the first course open to women called the Queen's Code Workshop, which was formerly known as Celebrating Men, Satisfying Women. And we'll give you an opportunity to register for that course at a deep discount and to tell you about the bonuses you receive for registering into the Queen's Code Workshop. But before we finish this call, I'm going to tell you the answer to this question. And the question is this: what is the difference between women who have great relationships with men and those who don't? So the question again is, what's the difference between women who have really great relationships with men and those who don't? So this call is designed for women, but you're welcome to stay on the call if you're a man. Please join us. You're welcome to be on this call. We're happy to have you here. But if you feel like I'm addressing the women on the call more than you, the men, please don't feel ignored. I don't mean to ignore you. I love that you're here with us, but it is designed for the women on the call, just so you know. Now, there's something that I need in order for this call to go really well. What I need in order for the call to go well and for me to be able to answer that question, what's the difference between women who have great relationships with men and those who don't, is that I need your help. I need you to be able to partner with me for the next hour. And this is what that looks like. I need it to be okay for me to tell you how it really is. I need it to be okay for me to be straight with you. So would it be okay with you if I was honest, authentic, and transparent? If so, please stay on the call. Please keep listening. If not, I recommend that you do not stay on this call because you're only going to be upset, and that's the opposite of ecstasy. That's the opposite of what we're going for. So I'm going to give you a very brief background of who we are at PAX Programs and what we teach. But I'm going to be very brief because we have a lot to cover because we have a live panel of men. And I'm going to tell you what that is because it's very, very special. So I'm sure that many of you know the story of the princess who kisses the frog and turns him into a handsome prince. It's hard not to know that fairy tale. Well, what we learned at PAX Programs is that fairy tale can actually happen in reverse. You can have a prince in your life and he can turn into a frog. There's this wonderful woman named Alison Armstrong. She's the creator of all of our courses and all of our products. Back in February of 1991, she learned that she was a frog farmer. That's a woman who actually turns great men into duds, into jerks, into frogs. She can take a prince and turn him into a frog. She is so good at that, she could actually harvest them and sell them at our local farmer market. She's like so very good. She's a frog farmer. And she could turn all the men in her life into frogs. Her father, her stepfather, her two brothers, her countless boyfriends, her male coworkers, her ex-husband, any and every man within arm reach, she could turn into a jerk. But back in 1991, she had no idea how she was doing it. None. And see, what it looks like is in the beginning or at some point in the relationship, a man can be really wonderful. He's the things that you like. He's attentive, he's communicative, he's accommodating. But then something happens or a series of things happens and he becomes less of the things that you like, less attentive, less communicative, less romantic. And he becomes cold or distant. Now, 24 years ago, Alison Armstrong found out she was a frog farmer. She found out that she turned princes into frog. But she had no idea how she was doing it. She actually found out that most women turn princes into frogs and also had no idea how we were doing it. I was one of those women 10 years ago. I was one of those women. So Allison, being Allison, decided to explore this idea that maybe women were doing things that were actually having men respond in particular ways that brought out the frog, and maybe there are other ways that would bring out the prince. And she started exploring this idea and came to a very profound and deep understanding of men. And this understanding of men actually brought out the prince or the frog in men, and actually made men's behavior predictable to her in a very good way. So I'm going to tell you the key to avoiding frog farming. The key to avoiding frog farming is understanding men's design, learning how to inspire men to give you what you need in a way that is natural for who men are, given how they fundamentally are as men. But first you need to understand how men are fundamentally designed. Who men are. You need to understand who men are. So because Allison understood who men are, and men behave differently when they were around Allison, and women noticed this, women wanted to know what Allison knew, and they started asking her, teach us what you know. And she said, well, okay, I can teach you a couple things. And 19 years ago, on a Sunday afternoon, in her best friend's living room, for a couple hours, she taught a handful of women what she knew about men. And it was good, and the women liked it, but the women had questions. And Allison's like, well, I don't know the answer to these questions, so I'll go and ask the men that I know in my life, and I'll ask them, and I'll find out what they say, and I'll bring back their answers. And she would bring back their answers and tell the women. And the women said, oh, that was good, but we have more questions. And Allison would take their questions and go to the men. And she would do that. But eventually she was like, why don't I just bring the men to you? And that began this beautiful thing called the panel of men that we now have in our courses. So we have this wonderful course called the Queen's Code Workshop, in which in 2 days we transform women's view of men forever. But we teach women for 2 solid days all these wonderful things that we understand about men, like how men think and how men speak and how men listen and how to ask a man for what you need given how men speak and how men think and how men listen and all this stuff. But there's still a little voice in women's head that tells them it can't be this simple. Is what she's telling me accurate? Is this true? Is this going to work? And so what we do in our courses is we bring in a panel of men. And once you hear from the panel of men what I've been teaching you for 2 days, all of a sudden the women think, okay, this could work. So what I have for you today is a taste of the panel of men experience by having a live panel of men on this national teleclass. Now, usually the panel of men answers a wide variety of questions, the questions that the women in the course have. But today, I picked a theme. And the theme I picked was all about mothers. And why I picked it about mothers was because how I scheduled this call, well, it's in April, and there isn't a call right before Mother's Day. And my intention with this call is that this call is sort of a love letter to mothers, because I don't think women get how much men admire and love and appreciate women as mothers. But if you heard what men actually think about you, whether you're an actual mother or you're eventually going to be a mother or the nurturing you provide because of the femininity that we have, even if you're not an actual mother, but we embody the feminine quality of being the mother, then you would value yourself more. So we have a panel of men for you to talk about mother before Mother's Day. And my intention, because we have this recording that's going to be available, is that you can forward this on to the world. Okay. So this is how the panel experience usually happens. The panel of men share their name, their age, their relationship situation, if they have kids, their occupation, and if they want a passion in their life. So you can just sort of understand who they are a little bit more. And then they delve into the questions. And I'm going to provide the questions for them. Okay. So I'm going to call on them so they can take a turn apiece, and then I'll give them their questions. So Emily, why don't you go ahead and unmute them, and then I'll call on them. Great, thank you. Okay, so name, age, relationship situation, if you have kids, your occupation, and if you want to say a passion that you have so that we can just be more related to you. So Wesley, would you like to go first?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. My name is Wesley Gu. I am 45, not married, no kids, and I am a speaker by trade. That is what I do. So did I answer all those questions correctly?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
And I should have also added your location because this is a national teleclass, so people might be wondering where you are in the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in Long Beach, California.
Thank you. And Chris?
Good evening. My name is Chris Stormley. I am 44. I have been married, divorced. I have a beautiful 9-year-old daughter. I started my own business last year and consult in financial technology risk management. And I'm extremely passionate about getting outdoors and giving back. I assist in some Sierra Club classes, and I enjoy volunteer vacations all over the United States. And I'm in Woodland Hills, California.
And would you tell them, because they might be wondering, where is your sexy accent from?
Yeah, I was born in Scotland and lived there until I was in my 20s and moved to the U.S. about 18 years ago.
Thank you.
And relationship status, I am just had my year anniversary with an amazing girlfriend.
Thank you. Greg?
Hi, everybody. My name's Greg. I am 65, hard to believe. Married with three kids. I'm a retired CPA who's studying to be certified as a non-binary practitioner. Let's see, what are my passions? If it's not motorcycles and old sports cars, it's something related to them. And I live in Western Colorado.
Thank you. Great. Okay, wonderful. So let's start with this question, and we'll just go in the order that I called you first. And, of course, as always, just like when we have a live panel of men, you're always welcome to pass on a question if you have nothing to say about that, or it just doesn't, it's not a question that resonates with you, or everything has been said about that question, as well as what was the other thing I wanted to say? When you're done, especially because during a live panel, you can usually look at each other and say, you know, you can tell if you're done because we're on a call. We need you to say, I'm done, so I know to pass it to the next person so we don't step on each other. So Wesley, if you could go first, would you answer this question? What do you admire about your mother?
Wow, what a great question. My mother is my best friend, and she has been for many years, and she still is. We go out to coffee. We go out to lunch weekly when I'm in town and not traveling for work. But I think the thing that I love most about my mother is the absolute unconditional love she offers. She's not always approving of all of my life choices. She's not always on board with my beliefs about certain things, but I always know at the end of the day we adore each other, and we are each other's greatest fans, and I will defend her to people who might have a problem with her or their family conflicts. I will defend her tooth and nail. She is by far my best friend. She would get the shit off her back literally for me And so I think that's the main thing that I absolutely love about her, unconditional love and adoration for each other. And that's it.
Thank you. Chris?
Thanks, and it is a great question. I'll speak very firmly. I unfortunately lost my mom a couple of years ago to cancer, and it left a bit of a hole in my life, but I miss her every day and think of her often. My mother was an incredible woman and really the complete Renaissance woman, just had an ability to do anything that she put her mind to, whether it was raising three kids, whether it was being an amazing cook, whether it was keeping a house, in her professional career, just absolutely incredible woman, very, very accomplished, very, very talented. I think one of my kind of recurring memories of my mom is going away on a business trip with my dad when my dad won one of these sales club type award weekends. And on the front page of the company newspaper when it came out about a month later, there's my mom with her tongue between her teeth, grinning in a motorcycle helmet on a quad bike, having won the competition among the wives and men at the weekend. She just really was an amazingly talented woman.
Hmm.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. And Greg, anything you want to say?
The thing I always admire about my mom is what she didn't say. I grew up in a family of, I only count, six boys and one girl. And my mom could have taken any one of us apart in any point in time in her life. And heaven knows she had the reasons to. But the worst she ever did was tell us, you guys should go outside and play. And there was never a course, never a crossword, never a diminishment, just I can't deal with that right now. And then we always got to do whatever we were going to do. Whatever we were going to do was just fine. Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Let me know how it turns out. And so there's this quality of just allowing me to be myself and never diminishing that, that, boy, I tell you, I don't know how she does it. Or did it. She still is the same way. She's 92 and just thinks I'm the best thing to walk through her door every day. So that's it.
Awesome. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you so much. That was very satisfying to hear something different from each of you and unique because you each have a very unique mom. So thank you. Okay, a different question. What do you think about dating single moms, if any of you have dated single moms? Who would like to take that question first?
This is Greg. I can start with that.
Okay.
Since I scored a single mom when I met, at the point in my life when I met Allison, I was happily living a single life. And when I met her, I thought, well, who's that cute girl across the room? And I talked to her a couple times and just all kinds of things started going on. But when I found out she had a son, it was just the best news ever. And there's a lot of practical reasons why that makes sense, but I just felt this sense of love. And here's this beautiful woman who has a son, so she's not only a beautiful woman, she's a mom. And wow, what kind of great qualities she must have to be raising a son, to have a son. And there's all kinds of things you can do with kids if you don't want them around, but it was never that way. And I just thought it was the prize. It was the best thing that happened to me. Meeting somebody with a ready-made family was just a gold mine to me. And there's practical kind of benefits to me. One is you can always see do you fit. I mean, this is a family. Do you feel like part of it? Do they feel like you belong? What kind of mom do you have? What are your values really? And you can see in the best or worst situations how life is going to go. And I tell you, it's the best news you could find. I I'd highly recommend the single mom people if you're in the dating mode. That's all for me.
Thank you.
I'll say something about it, if that's okay. This is Leslie.
Sure.
Okay, perfect. I've dated a few single mothers before, and I first want to acknowledge that how tough it is, it must be on everybody's part. Whenever you're dating, as if dating isn't tough enough in some cases, getting to know someone and treading that ground, when you throw children in the mix, it can be even tougher. And so there's this fine line that has to be walked between a mother valuing the dating relationship and still adoring her child and not making the person she's dating feel like he's secondary all the time. And I think there's an overcompensation to make that point that he's secondary because she doesn't want to ignore her primary responsibility in her children or child. And I think that needs to be rethought out how it's presented, because I think it's apples and oranges, and it shouldn't be a pecking order, whereas my child is number one and you will always be number two, because no man wants to feel number two, no woman wants to feel number two, to whether it's a child or a mother-in-law or something. So I think we need to reframe that whole concept that there's a pecking order and do it as sort of like a round circle. And if I was by a board, I would draw a wheel or something where different things are emphasized at different times, but it's a delicate situation. And I know as a man who has dated single mothers, I like to feel that I get to know the woman first, even though I'm open to loving the child. I don't want the child shoved in front of my face saying, you've got to accept the child first or you won't get to know me. And that's an awkward thing, and I don't know if everyone feels that way, but for me personally, I'd like to get to know you a little bit, and then we can discuss your child and the other things in your life that are equally important to you, but not to put that front and center and say, here are 1,000 pictures of my child, now you want to date me, don't you? I'd rather have them say, hey, here's me, and these are my interests, and yes, my child is a huge part of my life, and then get to go in that order. Does that make sense? I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Absolutely. And okay. I have a follow-up question for you, but I want to hear from Chris if Chris has something, and then a follow-up question for you and Greg. Chris,
sure.
Did you want to add to the conversation?
Sure, I'd love to. I had nothing but good experiences of dating single moms. I think apart from that unconditional love that one of the other chaps already mentioned, I think it's an amazing and incredible way to see the true character of a woman is to see how she is as a parent. And I think, having had such a strong motherly figure in my own life and having a little sister who's a mom, it's just such a mark of accomplishment in my book to see how women parent. And being a single dad who was dating, knowing that they understand the challenges they're in of, to the point of dating and being a single parent and trying to mesh custody schedules if you're dealing with that and everything else, and are open and willing to have that conversation. But, just to see, I think for me it was really important to see how a woman would parent their own children, because that would give me a sense of, if we had a relationship together, what she may be like with my child. And that was critically important to me. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I'm really happy we're having this conversation, because I was coaching someone the other day, and she was trying to ask me about, like, I'm a single mom, and when I bring up, that I have this child, and her daughter is a preteen, and so she's like, how am I supposed to date exactly, because my daughter is so important to me, and I do sometimes have to run to pick her up from something, and then I can't be with this man, or I don't want to flake on him, but I have to pick her up from some sort of engagement. And I was like, I'm not qualified actually to coach you on this. I need to pass you on to one of our other coaches who is married and is managing having a husband and kids. And so I'm really happy we're having this conversation. And so, you know, Greg, you dated and eventually married Allison, who was a single mom, and managed to give you enough attention while Jeff was, you know, I think 3 years old when you were dating. And and Chris, you have is Skye 9 years old?
Yes, she is.
She's 9 years old, and you're managing being in dual custody, you know, with a nine-year-old and dating, and you have a wonderful girlfriend. And then Wesley, you're dating women who, you know, you're open to dating women with or without children. And so it's all about making sure that, as I understand, it's all about making sure that you as men are getting enough attention from these women. Time, attention, affection from these women so that you guys can get to know these women so that you can, you know, do what you need to do in the dating process so you can see if you actually like them and are attracted to them to keep on wanting to progress into a relationship. So how did they manage that, Greg and Chris, so that you wanted to be in a relationship with them while there were kids involved? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is Greg. It was never a problem for me. There's times we all can be together, times we can't. And, you know, it's first things first. It's part of finding out what somebody's values are, and you also find out what your own values are. I don't have to be the center of attention. I just want, you know, when we're together, to be all of us together. And there's times when it's just me, and there's times when there was three of us, and then there's times when there's a whole bunch of us. And I don't know, it just never turned into a problem. And I honest to gosh, take my hats off to every single mother on the planet. That Allison's, it couldn't have been easy. She seemed to not struggle with it, but it's, man, I couldn't do it. And so, no, I don't know. I should ask Allison. I don't know how the heck she did what she did, but I never felt like I came up short, not ever.
No, and to add to that, I mean, I had very much the same impression of liking some of the single parent women that I've dated in the past to swans, because we have nothing but grace and presence on the surface. But I know as a parent, you know, having 50-50 custody of my daughter, the legs are paddling away furiously underneath the surface just to stay on top of, you know, whether it's soccer or baseball or dance or Girl Scouts or getting dinner on the table or getting to PT events and helping out at the school and everything else. It's just, I have nothing but admiration for people in that situation.
This is Wesley. I think also a distinction should be made between courting and dating. When I dated a single mother, I haven't had a problem once we're in the relationship. It usually works itself out fairly well, and it wasn't an issue. I guess I was speaking more in the who you choose to court, and there's that intro period where you either are there's enough chemistry there to draw you in to have a second conversation and a third conversation, or there's something there that happens. And if I feel, I can just speak for me personally, if I feel that someone is all about their children and have almost, in a sense, no room for anything else, I kind of shy away, because I think that I'm going to be added to somebody's life, and I don't want to be an addition, an addendum at the end of the book kind of thing. I want to be an equal part of what's going on. And so, excuse me, in the courting process, maybe that affects me a bit more than once we've already decided that we want to be part of each other's lives and we start dating. So I just wanted to make that distinction.
Thank you, Wesley. That's a really great point you make. It's one of the things we actually talk about in one of our most advanced courses called the Queen Code for Relationships. It used to be called Celebrating Men and Marriage. We talk about marriage or relationship, the relationship being the number one priority, and kids being actually a subset of that. That kids not being the number one priority, but actually the relationship, the union of the man and the woman, or the woman and the man, being the number one priority. that actually when the kids are the number one priority actually doesn't actually work. Because then what's going to happen when they're out of the household in 20 years? That when the kids are the center of the universe, if you've ever experienced that or experienced relationships that are like that, it actually doesn't work. It actually pits the parents against each other. Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yes. I would hope you wouldn't have mothers sort of rise up and say, no, my kid is going to be number one, and I don't care what you say. Because, you know, there's all that with a mother involved. And not being a mother, I wouldn't know it, but I can just only imagine how they would feel. And, yeah, but you're absolutely right. I think it's, if a partner feels number two or sub, it's going to be frustrating.
Yes, absolutely. But let's get back to our topic, because our topic is about mothers and how valuable they are to the relationship and to the world, actually. And so one of the questions that I have for you is what did your mother do or say or behave that made you the man that you are today, or that you still value to this day, that you can say, it's because I had that mom, that I can say that's why I became this man?
I can take that.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
I can do that. A couple of things, some that I enjoyed and didn't appreciate when I was younger, and some that I didn't enjoy and now appreciate. One was my mum was an incredible cook, very accomplished in the kitchen, and I loved spending time with her in the kitchen, and was fortunate in that neither of my sisters at the time were particularly interested in cooking, so I was often the kitchen helper, and that stood me in great stead throughout my adult life. I love spending time in the kitchen. I still find spending time in the kitchen very relaxing, and I love to be the host, and I think those are skills that you can't buy. The other was, no matter where I was going or what I was going to do, my mum made sure I was appropriately dressed. And I'm not talking about the old gag about making sure that you're wearing clean underwear in case the ambulance comes for you. I just mean that from a very young age, I had some fashion sense at a time when, you know, lots of my friends were still doing the white socks with the black pants, etc. You know, by the time I was 12, I knew how to wear a suit and tie a tie and have clean shoes, although it was my father who taught me how to polish them. And that, and taking pride in my appearance and looking in a mirror every day before I walk out the door, I think has stood me in good stead in both my personal and professional career as well. So those are the two things that spring to mind, like, among many that I could think of.
I'll chime in that I think the quality that my mom had that made me who I am today is she just did things, and she just cooked, she looked after us, she did a million different things, and she just did them. There wasn't talk about them, there wasn't whining, there wasn't complaining, there was just things to do, and you did them. And this way of being in action with grace and kind of happiness really inspired, besides letting me be who I am and be happy and kind of chase my own interests and have my own life, it made me just really appreciate what hard work was, and it's not a bad thing. In fact, it's just a natural part of life, and so I was never afraid to work and dig in and give everything I had to something, because, I don't know, that's how I grew up. That's what everybody does, doesn't it? Don't they? So that's what I have to say.
I think for me, when I think of my mom and growing up, I said at the beginning about love, and everything for me kind of now, looking back, I file in that category, whatever it was. And one of the couple things that were brought up, specific examples, one of the few of the things I remember when I would go to school, elementary school, and my mom would pack me a sack lunch. My sandwich was always the biggest sandwich in there. She would put layers and layers of meat and veggies, and they'd look at all the other kids, and they'd have one slice of bologna, maybe a slice of cheese, mayo, and bread, and I would have this sub sandwich that was huge, and all the kids would be like, wow, can I have some of that? And then I remember my mom, you know, early days, she'd be up at 3 in the morning to get ready for work, and the light would be, you know, she'd be very quiet. And I remember waking up sometimes and looking and seeing the bathroom light with the door just slightly ajar. And she was getting ready. And then when she got laid off, she went to work at a Dunkin' Donuts. And I remember her walking to the bus stop early in the morning to wait for the bus to take her to a Dunkin' Donuts to work. And I remember, and, you know, at the time I didn't think of it much of anything. That's your parents. But now, in retrospect, I look back, and even when I drive down the road today and I see an old woman, especially like an old Spanish woman, my mom is of Hispanic descent, standing at a bus stop, I almost burst into tears every time I drive by one, thinking, what love that would do that. No woman should ever have to wait at a bus stop, ever in life. There should be a man somewhere that takes care of her and picks her up. So anyway, that's left in my head as specific things that my mom would do to sacrifice for me. So that's my input.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. My last question, and Chris, you're welcome to try to answer this, but your mother has passed. So for Greg and for Wesley, and Wesley, you're in your 40s, and Greg, you said you're in your 60s. What do you still need from your mother, given that you are, you know, very healthy, adult, mature men? But is there still something that you need from your mother now that you're so healthy and strong and mature men that you can do everything yourself? But do you still need anything from your mom?
I'll go. I guess, you know, yes, I'm mature and grown up and strong and all this, but when I'm with my mom, I'm still her little boy. And it doesn't matter at what point, how old I am or whatever. I mean, even to this day, if I leave her house and the sun has gone down, she makes me call her when I get home to make sure I got home safe. I mean, she still treats me like I'm a child to a degree. And I love that about her. I love that I'm still her little boy, her little angel. And so what I need from her, I guess, would be just that safe space to be able to talk and to be me and to open up and to just let her love me unconditionally as if she's done. And I think when there are problems between her and I, it's because I feel that's not there. I feel like she's closed off because her beliefs are taking over and they're pushing aside the motherly side of her, and they're the heavy sort of more religious or whatever side comes in, and she gets dogmatic, and then suddenly she's not my mom in that respect, and I just get frustrated because I don't have a safe space to be me or to open up. And so the times when we have reconciled those sort of little disagreements, she's created that space, and I melt because she's allowed me to be me with no threat of judgment, not judgment, no threat of being cast off. I know that she will always love me, you know.
This is Greg. That's a really good question. I think it fundamentally gets down to I need to know she loves me, and I need her to know that I love her. That's what I need when we're together. I always have that sense, and I always tell her, and she always tells me. But you know, there's just nothing like it. You know, Paul Simon said, "My mom loves me." That's still what it is. All these years, pretty funny.
I have a few thoughts as well, Shidi.
Yeah,
if you
sure.
Humor me, I consider myself more of a spiritual person than a religious person, and consider myself very fortunate to have been able to be with my mom when she, you know, as she was passing away, and spend time with her. And I think what springs to mind, the things that I still need from her, are tools that she's given me over the years, and the unconditional love that she gave me, and just some of the inherent capabilities that make a woman. I mean, I often said that only a woman can take a house and make it a home. So I think of everything that she taught me and how some of those lessons live on in both my sisters. And I'm grateful for those every day. Really do appreciate them every day. Thanks.
So during our live panel of men, we always have this part where we get to give you an opportunity to do a megaphone, which means that if you were able to tell all the women of the world this one message, like, and you could imagine that the women that were in front of you at this workshop were all the women of the world, you could say this one thing to them, what would be that one thing? I want you to imagine that the women and possibly men on this call are those people. What would you like them to know if there's anything left in your well about mothers? this is your chance. I'm not asking you any questions, anything specific to answer. Is there anything left that you'd like them to know? And you each get a turn. What would you like to say?
I can take a pass at that. I think my words for mums would be bear with us. I mean, I remember being a particularly reckless teen, and my mum had infinitely more patience for me than my father did through many of those years, but still, I think at times ran out of patience. And I think boys will be boys at times. I've often said that men are just boys with bigger toys. And, you know, give us the space and time on occasion to figure out with the school of hard knocks, if necessary, broken bones and cuts and bruises included, what works and what doesn't. And try not to say, I told you so, too often, even when it's deserved. Because, you know, we will come around, we will grow up, and we will learn. And with time, I think we all come to appreciate our mums, mothers, moms, more and more, the older that we get, and the more mature, specifically, that we get. That would be my megaphone moment.
Chris.
Cool. I could say something. This is Rick, Greg. If I could just say one thing that the single mothers listening, it would be God bless you. You are the best thing that could happen in a guy's life. And you have such an influence over us grown men, the younger men who are your sons and daughters. And you have a noble undertaking and role in life that you've chosen, and or it's chosen you. And I just would like to celebrate and give you a hand and take my hat off to you and, you know, give you accolades for what it takes to do what you do. And we just appreciate it. We need what you have, and we're nothing without a home and the love and the admiration that you bring into our lives. And so it doesn't look like it. It doesn't seem like it sometimes, the way we behave. You might not think that, but if I could put one thing in your pocket, that would be it. We'd love you and admire you, and God bless you, and we need you. Thank you so much for taking this thing on in life that you do. That's it for me.
Awesome.
I agree with Greg in terms of thinking single mothers are the greatest. They have a huge task ahead of them, and they They carry themselves with such grace and dignity and style, and they are still very attractive. And having a child doesn't make you less attractive. If anything, it may be rubbing against some men's, oh my gosh, can I do this kind of thing. But if you were to present those men, say, hey, here's $1 billion, do you think you could be approach it a bit better now? I think most of those men would say, yeah, I think I could do this. Because I think it rubs against a lot of men's significance, can I do that? And the thing I want to say is that this image keeps popping in my head during this call is that I don't know if it's the Michelangelo analogy where they asked him, how did he carve David? And he said, well, out of that block of stone. And he just said, I saw David and I just chipped away everything that was not David. And I kind of see human beings that way and relationships that way, is that ideally things would work out great if we could just be our best selves. But because we have the past, and insecurities and fears for the future and all sorts of those types of things that come in, they convolute us personally, and then we bring that into a relationship, and two convoluted people coming together produce somewhat of a convoluted relationship. So working those things out and allowing yourself to just not bring that into a relationship and hold the next person you date accountable to what the last person did, I think is a wise approach. I know it's easier said than done. And I think, in addition, not to be in a hurry. There's this kind of thing lots of times where people are in a hurry to get into a relationship. And I think it's great to sort of let things marinate and to not to rush it. So I think it's a good course, and I think getting out there and dating and getting to know people first a little bit is great. And I think you'll find some really fulfilling relationships if you don't go in kind of interviewing people as a sort of, are you the candidate? Are you going to be the one? If not, you're out, giving the next one. Just get to know people. You never know what role someone's going to play in your life. It could be your friend. It could be a lover. It could be your soulmate. It could be anybody, a colleague. You never know. So just take time, get to know people, and go slow with it, and watch what happens, watch it blossom. That's all I got to say.
Awesome. Wow. Fantastic. Okay. So I get to acknowledge the men. Usually in a live panel, I get to select the women, but we're not going to do that right now. So this is what I want you to know. Thank you. One of my intentions for the call, besides providing the people on the call with some really great valuable information and healing and transformation, was to give them a love letter that they could have for themselves as well as forward to possibly the women of the world and their mothers so that they know their value and worth, a pre-Mother's Day love letter. And you provided that and so much, much more. So thank you for your time tonight. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your transparency and authenticity and honesty and your love, because that's what I felt. So thank you. You made my night. God bless you.
You're welcome, Shelley. Thank you.
Welcome. Okay, so there's something that I promised you at the top of this call. I promised you guys something. I promised you the answer to this question. I promise you the answer to the question, what's the difference between women who have great relationships with men and those who don't? So here's the answer. The difference between women who have great relationships with men and those who don't is this. They get their worth. Another way of saying this is they get that they are queens. But you might be wondering, what is a queen? Well, it's easier to tell you what a queen is not. A queen is not a bitch or a doormat. A queen is not a diva or a people pleaser. A queen is not being about entitled or forceful or weak or submissive. She is not about, and here's the thing. None of those things are attractive to men, being entitled or forceful, weak or submissive, and they're not actually satisfying to you. This is what a queen is. A queen is about getting what she needs from a place of power, feminine power. A queen has vision and power, and that vision and power inspires men. And we've cracked the code on how to be a powerful, feminine woman who gets what she needs from men and does not intimidate or alienate men while doing it. Instead, she knows her worth and her value, and she embodies qualities that makes the world a better place, and men want to be with her and give her what she needs and make her life great. So, I have a question for you. Are you willing? Are you willing? Because it's all about you. It's all about you willing to live the life of a queen. So what does that look like for you? Does that look like for you going out on more dates with men that you're attracted to? Is that what the queen desires? Is that what she needs? Would becoming a man magnet make you happy? Would being in a relationship that's fun and exciting and fulfilling be satisfying to you? Would getting the support you need from your husband without having to nag him, would that be a relief? Would getting the understanding and communication that you crave from men, would that leave you fulfilled? Because it's all about you. It's all about you being satisfied. It's all about you getting what you need from men. It's all about you being happy. So what would make you happy? In 2 short days, we can teach you the tools you need to become the queen that men crave to partner with. It's in the Queen's Code Workshop. The Queen's Code Workshop is a Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And to register for the Queen's Code Workshop, you go to www.registerunderstandmen.com. There's a Queen's Code Workshop happening in Los Angeles this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'll be leading it in Los Angeles. When you register and you pay in full, the tuition for the 2-day workshop is $849. Again, that's when you pay in full. But because you are listening to this teleclass, I can give you a promotional code. The promotional code will actually take off $124 off of the paid in full payment. When you take $124 off of the payment full payment, it is $725. The promotional code is SA-1014. That's SA-1014. You save the most money when you pay in full. We created a payment plan option because we didn't want women to be stopped by money. Transforming your relationship with men forever is just too important to let money get in the way. If you use the payment plan option, which is 7 payments of $125, you still get to take $124 off of the payment plan total, making the first payment only $1. So you could be in the LA workshop this weekend for only $1. Then you make 6 additional payments of $125, which will be deducted from your credit card or debit card every 30 days. So you could transform your relationship with men by 7 p.m. this Sunday, and you've only paid $1. Now, you save the most money if you pay in full because there is a $25 administrative fee when you use a payment plan. Now, we've done the math for you. It's only $4 a day for the 6-month payment plan. People spend at least that much at Starbucks once a day. The payment plan works like this. It is not layaway. You do not have to make all the payments before you do the workshop. So if you want to do the Queen's Code Workshop, you register with the payment plan, you make one payment, your first payment of $1 when you register at registerunderstandmen.com, you take the workshop this weekend in Los Angeles, and then your second payment of $125 will happen 30 days after your first payment. I'm also leading in Honolulu, Hawaii next weekend, April 18th and 19th. But we're also having a workshop in Atlanta, Georgia, April 25th and 26th. We're having a workshop in San Francisco, May 2nd and 3rd. We also have workshops in Boston, San Diego, Denver, Orange County, California, Dallas. We'll have a workshop back in San Francisco in August. We'll have it in D.C., in Victoria, Canada, in Chicago, in New York City. Thus, regardless if you register by paying in full or if you do the payment plan, you save $124 if you register with the promotional code that I gave you, which again is SA-1014. So that's strawberry apple-1014. We also want to give you gifts for registering. These are very useful, practical gifts. One of them you can use as soon as you are finished with your registration. See, we want you to continue your education with us as soon as possible. And we want to give you something that's going to tie you over until you attend the live workshop. After you register for the Queen's Code workshop, we will give you something that you can immediately use. It's a downloadable audio recording called Loving More by Sacrificing Less. See, it's very common for us to believe that love means that you sacrifice. Have you ever noticed that sacrificing only leaves you resentful, tired, and angry? What if it's actually an act of love not to sacrifice? What if you could partner without sacrificing yourself? In this recording, you'll learn how to stop wasting your time and energy on things that just leave you feeling depleted, neglected, and used. And you'll learn how to get appreciation you need so you can feel valued and loved. This recording costs $89. When you'll register, you'll receive it as a bonus. That's one of the gifts that we have to give you when you register for the Queen's Code Workshop. Then after you complete your weekend course, you have two more bonuses waiting for you. You will have a 30-minute private coaching session with a program leader like myself. Many of your questions will get answered at the weekend course, but you may have a couple left, perhaps about a particular man or specific scenario. We give you a private coaching session so you can get the personal attention you need to feel confident with the tools that we give you at the course. The private coaching session that lasts 30 minutes costs $48, but we'll give you this as a gift when you register. The final and third gift that you receive when you register for the Queen's Code Workshop is a 3-session follow-up teleclass series that includes topics such as how to bring out the best in men, you win when he wins, and how to change a man. The teleclass series costs $125. But again, that's a bonus when you register for the Queen's Code Workshop. The combined value of the course and all the bonus products is $1,111. But when you use the promotional code and you pay in full, you'll get everything for $725 or 6 payments of $125. That's a 35% savings. So again, you go to registeruntherstandmen.com and you use a promotional code of SA-1014. Now, you can transfer to another date to another city free of charge as long as you do it 46 days before the workshop that you register for. Now, we also have a promise. Our promise is if you give us 2 days of your life and you participate fully in the workshop and we don't transform your view of men by 7 p.m. on Sunday and we don't transform your view of men forever by 7 p.m. on Sunday, we will give you all of your money back, all of it. We are that confident of our ability to transform your view of men forever. So, the last thing I want to leave you with is this. This is who our customers are. Our customers are courageous men and women with a strong desire to have satisfying relationships. They want to gain an extraordinary understanding of gender and are willing to adopt a new point of view towards men and women. If you see yourself as somebody who is willing to try something new, to try something different, to try something that is counterculture, that works because we have had 25,000 graduates before you for the last 20 years who have done our courses and have thanked the heavens above that they now have a completely different understanding of the opposite sex. If that's you, then you're ready for us. So I want to thank you and the panel of men for joining us. Please go to registeruntherstandmen.com and register for the Queen's Code Workshop. I hope to see you soon. Good night and God bless.